Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. Seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive this July 25th, 2018. Get the buttons pushed here and bring them in on. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And beautiful day here. Had rain today. I think high of about 72. I'm trying not to be boastful, but it was pretty good weather. Had rain, had lightning, had about an acre lightning fire just up the river, and didn't get all the hay baled that we wanted to today, but tomorrow will be a new day, and we'll try then. So, well, men, yeah, blessings from Laramie, and I know we have a couple callers tonight, and I'll sure let you know when they call in.
Thank you, sir. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Hope is Alive, a testimony show about those who have been set free by the supernatural works of Jesus. You can go to deliveranceusa.com. The website's there for your disposal. A lot of free materials on there. I was searching through it again today. Take a look at it. I hadn't looked at it in a while, and it's a lot user friendly than it used to be. You guys have done a good job on that, Pastor. I do want to pass on that there is one spot on there where it says Triangle of Trauma. Each time you click on it, it takes you straight to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you may want to mention that to Richard. I'll shoot you a text here in a little bit to remind you. But you can go there. It has all kinds of free resources there. Most of it we talk about here on this show. And you can also get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. And you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we act a $20 offering for that. If you don't have it, that's just a fantastic tool to have in your arsenal. So we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. And, Pastor, I believe you had a scripture you wanted to read.
Well, that's right, Brother Ralph. I felt led to focus over on 1 Peter. And I'm going over to 1 Peter 5:8. Christians are being addressed in this passage, as we read in 1 Peter 1. But here's the scripture to Christians. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And what we've seen in this kind of ministry is the enemy is looking for entries, but also the enemy has an assignment-type entry that they use as well. We're often talking about the doors, and that was the first area that we started learning about, doors that Christians can open. You won't see them listed, I don't believe, anywhere in the Bible as doors, but they are scriptures where they obviously are entries for the enemy. For example, in unforgiveness, which is really the greatest and biggest door that we see all the time, and of course, it was said over... Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, where we read that there we have an enemy that comes in through the unforgiveness door. In other words, if we don't forgive, as it was said, we'll be turned to the tormentors. So that's a major door, and others, there's 15 doors total that we recognize. But if that isn't bad enough, we keep running into satanic assignments coming out of Satan's war room that are put on Christians, and so demons cannot come through those assignments to block that Christian's life, to block their ministry, the use of their God-given gifts, and block having life abundant. Well, the good news of the assignments, they're actually easier in most cases to deal with than the doors, since we have all power, Luke 10:19, if we use it with all power in Jesus' name, we can break those assignments easily and then command the demons of the assignments to go. And in fact, our second caller tonight has experienced that a number of times, has been through ministry several times, and each time there would be a fresh assignment put out on her, and the way I learned that was by interrogating the demon, the head demon, each of those assignment groups. So I just wanted to focus on that. We keep saying it over and over that satanic assignments are out there, and Christians with these special gifts and talents, and you know, the enemy seems to sense all that, and they're under attack often. Again, if we will shoot, we win in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And what's interesting to note is, as you said to Christians, is Peter was, that's who Peter was writing to. He was writing to those who have already been, who have already become Christians. He wasn't writing to the unsaved, he's writing to the saved. And
yes,
he was warning them that the Satan is a roaring lion. And, you know, we've talked often about the Holy Spirit coordinate this. I had some thoughts about satanic assignments myself before you sent me that scripture today. And perfect example is in John 13, it says, during supper, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, talking about Jesus. There was an assignment there.
That's
where Satan didn't send one of his demons, he did it himself. And it also says later in verse 27, after the morsel, Satan entered into him. And then later in Scripture, it talks about how when Satan was through with him, the complete remorse that Judas Iscariot had. So here's an example where the devil lied, enticed, and got Judas to do something, and when he was done, it's complete remorse. And how many times has Christians done the same type of thing? You know, maybe it wasn't as serious as a sin as betraying Jesus, but we've all done those things before. And for whatever reason, they come by assignment. Another example of it by assignment was the book of Job, when God said, okay, you can do this, but you just can't take his life, and all these things happen. That was another example by assignment. And
yeah.
So it's something to take seriously. And one of the things that I add, you know, to my prayer life is I'll declare Luke 10:19, but I put the spirit world on notice that I understand it, I believe it, and I'm exercising it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So,
praise God.
And that is a great scripture. And if you don't know it, you should.
Amen. Well, you know, that's a scripture that so often people are saying Christians cannot have evil spirits. Well, why are we being warned here? This is just one example of where Christians are warned to be ready to resist. If we can't be bothered, why would we need to resist? Well, obviously we can be.
Exactly. And the great thing about it is because of the way our Lord designed everything, we resist. The Word says he has to flee. That's in James, resist the devil. He has to flee. And as long as we act in that resistance, doesn't mean he's not going to continue coming back.
That's right. We're in the war zone.
That's right.
We're in the war zone.
It's called a war. It wouldn't be much of a war if it was one attack and it was over and never happened again. So,
I'd like that.
Great news is. It would be great if it was that way. And one day it will be. One day everything will be crushed under the feet.
Yes.
Satan will be crushed under our feet, is what the Word says. Soon the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. And he will use the feet of Christians to do that. But I'm just going to read that Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And don't just stop there. And nothing will injure you. And that's the great thing. We have that power. And if we declare it, speak it, understand it, and put it at notice, the enemy has to.
Yes. And in context there, Ralph, in verse 17 and 18, we're reading about the demonic and all, and Satan seeing Satan cast down from heaven, etc. So the subject is demonic there as he rolls into verse 19. So when he says serpents and scorpions, he's referring to the demonic.
Certainly is talking about the spiritual realm. And Holy Spirit, thank you for coordinating, because
yes.
Once again, he does a much better job than we do.
Praise God.
Pastor, do you have any interesting cases this Monday?
Well, we had 14, had a minister for each. It's interesting how people come from all over. In fact, one of the callers tonight is from Western Oklahoma. And, they come from all over. It's been that way for 34 years, different people typically every Monday night. Sometimes there's people that are coming back for additional ministry, but overall the majority of them are new, never even been there before. Because I always ask them when they come in, have you been here before? And the majority of them say no. So I explain how we'll be doing it this evening. And I had an interesting case. It was pretty routine. I got the hit demon up. It went very smoothly. And he had he could hardly walk when he came in. I think he may have had a cane, come to think of it. And after the deliverance, I moved into the limb check and speaking healing into his back and bones and spine and vertebrae and all that. I had to pray more than once, but ultimately he starts running around the sanctuary there. He wasn't. I told him, go ahead and walk, check yourself out. He's not only walking, he's finally running. So it was
praise
pretty exciting. It's our Jesus again. It's an ongoing joy to be in the middle of this kind of action. I just praise God over and over how he I could have missed all this. It's been such an exciting, high adventure and fulfilling area of my life. I was a mortgage banker in the mortgage banking business for 40 years and CEO of a mortgage banking company for 26 years. But this is much more exciting than doing mortgages. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, we have Mary. Mary, thank you for calling.
All right. Mary?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Well, thank you for calling in. Ralph's on here with me up in Missouri. And
yes.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Mary, if you could go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and maybe filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then anything you'd like to share about the deliverance has been an experience with you, maybe your family as well.
Okay. I was born in Idaho, and I grew up here in Oklahoma. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 15 and a half years old, and I had a hunger for the Word, and I just couldn't quit reading the Bible and getting enough of it. I always wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I prayed for it, but I'd never received it. And as time went on, years later, I think it was in 2015, a pastor and his wife came to our door and ministered to us and asked if I wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I wanted it. I always knew what it was, and I was hungry for it, and I received it, and I loved praying in tongues. I started going to their church and started learning so much about the Holy Ghost that I never knew before. And then God moved me to Oregon, and I lived in Oregon for over a year, and I was going to a church up there, and God just kind of was opening the door for me to start practicing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I was trying to learn how to operate in them and practice them there at my job. And when you let the Holy Ghost in, there's just so many amazing things that happen when you bring the Holy Ghost wherever you go and just let Him work right through your life. And then I moved back to Oklahoma, and then I kind of went downhill from there, and I struggled with a lot of things, and I hadn't prayed in tongues as much as I did, and I wasn't reading the Bible, and I went downhill quick, and it was horrible. And I kept praying and searching for people, for answers, for churches. I would search, I would cry, I would talk to people, and what came to my mind was exorcism. So I looked it up on the internet, and I found Everett Cox, and I listened to him on YouTube, and I loved everything he said. I agreed with everything that came out of his mouth. It lined up with the Word of God. So I took my chance. I went and I seen him. It was not this last Monday night, but the Monday night before. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how much was inside of me that I didn't even know was there, that needed dealt with. And I understand the Bible where it says God looks at the heart, God looks at the inside of the person, and we as humans, we look on the outside, we don't see what's on the inside, but God looks on the inside and He's there to clean it up. And as being a Christian, you don't really realize all the stuff in you that needs dealt with and confessed.
Yes. That, you know, our spirit man being totally secure in Jesus is, you know, being born again, but we have a body and then we have a soul, mind, will,
yes,
emotions, and that's where, of course, we find the evil spirits tormenting and blocking our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go right ahead. When you were ministered to, did you feel these spirits coming out, or how do you know they were in there?
Well, the lady, and I forget her name, I should have remembered her name, but whenever she told me to bow my head and close my eyes, any word that come to my mind, say it. So I did. And right then she said, I command the hand demon to rise up, and my head was bowed, my eyes were closed, and I just seen this black, black, blacker than black. It was the blackest black I ever seen, and it was evil. It come up through my throat and in my mind, and I seen just this thing, this black. And she asked, "What is your name?" And the demon spoke through me, addiction, and it was not my voice. It didn't sound like me. And my arms started shaking and my legs started shaking. I couldn't control it, but I was conscious enough to know what was going on around me and what was being said. And the lady, she put the Bible on my stomach and just kept commanding it to leave. And then she would call me up, and then I would, like, have complete control, and she would get me to repent of certain things. And then she would call the head demon up, and it was just like a battle. It took a while, but so much came up out of me. And when it left, I just felt so much better. I looked different.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So typical. Yeah, so many people do look different when those spirits are gone, and they often look younger. Was that Susan that worked with you? I've kind of forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You say yes? Okay.
I think it was her.
She's a good minister. Uh-huh. Yeah, and she does the head demon. Not all of our ministers do the head demon technique, but she does. Well, yeah, that's pretty common, where when the demons are talking out of a person, probably represents 90% of the manifestations like that. The person is like they're in the back seat, and they see everything that's going on. They hear it, but they're not doing it. It was kind of what you experienced, it sounds like. Yeah.
Yes.
And 10% of the cases, though, when the head demon is up, the person's not there at all and has to be told later what went on.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we run into that. So what changes have you started seeing in your life?
Well, Mary? I feel like the tunnel between me and God is opening up, that I can sense His presence more. I feel like I'm getting back to where I was with our relationship, just closer and closer with God. And when I pray, I just feel so much better when I pray. Used to when I prayed, it's like, this ain't doing me any good. There's all the blockage and stuff, and I'm reading my Bible again every day, and it's just a huge difference, and I feel better all day. My back quit hurting me. I don't have the sugar cravings and food cravings like I did. But I've noticed them demons, they do try to come back. And I went back the second Monday, but I wasn't there for me. But I ended up setting in on someone and just observing. And when the ladies were finished, the minister turned to me and said, "I think I need to minister to you." I said, "Well, I don't know. Do you have time, or do you only do one person tonight?" She goes, "Well, I think there's some things with you." And the Holy Ghost was just working and bringing up more things in me that needed dealt with and repentance. And, oh, I felt even better after that night than I did the first.
Hallelujah. That was Mary Sue that worked with you that time, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Boy, you're getting a Jesus. You got a Jesus overhaul, didn't you, Mary?
Yes, I did, and I'm keeping it.
And you've learned who you are in Jesus, and if anything tries to come back, to resist it. We were focusing on a scripture earlier about how we Christians need to be alert and resist anything that tries to come back. Well, even some of your family came for ministry, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
How have they done?
It was amazing. My brother, his back was healed, his neck was healed, and that had bothered him for years. He had gone to chiropractors. He had been in so much pain. And my mom, she finally received the baptism of the Holy Ghost after praying and asking for it for a long time. And when I walked out of the church Monday night and I looked at my mom and my brother, I just seen light and I just seen a huge change. And on the way home, I could hear it in their voice. There was a change, and it was just wonderful.
Praise God. How awesome.
Yes.
How awesome. And you know, just think, Mary, how many people out there need this kind of ministry I mean, you've seen what's happened with you and your family. Well, you're typical. You guys are just typical of many families.
Right. Everybody does. Even pastors need this. They need to do it, in my opinion.
Yes. We minister to a certain number of pastors right along. And of course, we're all targets, and especially pastors. So, we all have to get ministry as we may need it, being in the war zone as we are. Well, any other things come to you to share on your experience or your family there?
The only thing that comes to my mind is I want to go deeper with God. I don't want to turn back, and I want to learn the deliverance ministry and become a part of it.
Hallelujah. Well, as I often say, we need an army, and the more ministers we have, the more the Lord will send people to us. Most every Monday is pretty amazing. We have a perfect balance, or have extra ministers even to handle the people that have come. But I'm believing for double what we're doing, which is typically a dozen or 15 cases. There's no reason we can't do 30. We can work it in physically there. So I'm believing that's going to happen. Well, are you going to start going to the Monday night training pretty quick?
I plan on it, yes. I'm trying to work things out with my job, and when can I go, when can I get off work? I want to.
Praise God. And you know, you don't have to be there every Monday night. If you keep coming on Monday nights, you will eventually have what we learn those steps on the checklist to do with people. And at that point, then you can minister to the world out there. And you're from Western Oklahoma, aren't you?
Yes.
So perhaps Western Oklahoma needs some of this kind of ministry. What do you think, Mary?
Oh, I agree 100%.
I spent some time out in Western Oklahoma, but it's everywhere, of course. It isn't just that part of Oklahoma. The need is everywhere, and typically the workers are few.
That's that's sad.
Any other testimonies of what's happened that come to you to share before we wind up?
Well, when I was sitting there observing the two ladies and the one ministering, the minister asked the young lady to raise her feet up, and she did, and she was checking out to see if both of her legs were the same length. Well, one was a little bit shorter, and I was sitting across from them, and I was watching, and the minister commanded the leg to grow, and I physically seen the young woman's leg grow right in front of me.
Yes.
I seen it move.
Yes, and you talk about a physical miracle that we witnessed. I've literally, Mary, seen 40 years of that. I've seen thousands of those legs over these years adjust now. We see them every week, and the ministers are trained to do that at the end of the deliverance. It's an adjustment, you know, where people have to go to a chiropractor so often. They're out of alignment and all that. And our Jesus will adjust it. The power of the Holy Spirit will adjust it while we watch. And I never get over the amazement of it, just like you. It blows me away every time.
Yes.
It's a tangible miracle that we've witnessed. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well, as we wind up here, do you have anything else to say to the listeners, Mary, about this subject?
Don't give up. There are answers out there. There are people who truly do want to serve God. If you're looking for someone to talk to, pray with, you may be in like a desert and you feel like you're all alone. You're not alone. And that's the only thing that's come to me.
And the Lord will often send people as they pray. That happens quite a bit. And they will even direct them to those that know to do this kind of ministry we've had some amazing experiences how people will call on the office phone line and say, the Lord gave me the name of Deliverance Ministries here. And I remember one case, still blows me away to think about it. This lady called and she said, and the Lord gave me the phone number. I tell
wow.
you what, that puts it on us. We better be good at this. If the Lord, it's quite a responsibility. If the Lord is sending them to us, we better be doing it right. Amen?
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much, Mary, for calling in and sharing. And tell your family
yes.
hi. Enjoyed visiting with your brother there a lot. And
yes,
God bless you.
You
all.
Thank you. Thanks
thank
for
you
having me.
Thank you for joining us, Mary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, the Lord will send. I remember that lady that called me out of the blue, and we were talking about something, and she kept going on and on about these needs she had, and I asked her, I said, how did you get my number? And she said, well, I was sitting on the curb, and I was praying that God would send me what I needed or who I needed, and my business card blew right up to her feet. So, and that was a town about 3 or 4 hours away that I only go to twice a year, so...
Praise
these things
God.
Do happen. They do happen. I mean, the boldness. I mean, just not the boldness, but the awesomeness of the Lord gave me a phone number. I mean, that's just awesome that the Holy Spirit still
Ralph,
works that way.
Ralph, you can call it supernatural.
Yeah, supernatural. That's right. That's right.
We
but,
expect
you know,
that's
the promise that Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." And
yes.
Even though we may feel alone, you're not alone. And that's when those assignments will come. The demons and the Satan will come to you and say, now you're all alone. No one cares. No one will be with you. But you can come back and fight back with the word and say, no, it is written, lo, I'll be with you always. And you can use those in your I am confessionals. Say, I am a child of God, and I am with him. Because
yes.
The word does say, lo, I'm with you always. So that's the importance of using your IMs. And your IMs will help fight off those demonic assignments as well.
Oh, absolutely. I love saying those out loud. It's you know, I always, as I say that, I always tend to want to beat my chest as I read who I am in Jesus. Well, that's who we all are. Many people don't know who they are yet. As they may have gotten born again, but they don't know what all's there for them. And of course, so many Christians don't have the slightest idea about deliverance and the casting out of evil spirits and the physical healing that's available to us in the gospel. They cut themselves short. They go to heaven, but they never enjoyed the rest of it. Well, I like the rest of it. I didn't learn about this until I was 44, so I had a lot of years go by. I had no idea. Well, I sure liked what I've learned thus far.
Yes.
It's high adventure, exciting, and very fulfilling. I love hearing those testimonies of what Jesus did in their life. And, of course, it's testimonies like we just heard that drive us on to keep doing it. Praise God.
Yes, praise the Lord. And if it was just a matter of being born again, and that was the end of everything, then the Bible should stop right there at Acts 2:38. Once it says,
yeah.
it tells you to repent, believe, be baptized, and receive to get the Holy Spirit, if there is nothing more that was needed other than that, the Bible would end just right there. We wouldn't have to have any of these admonishments, any of these encouragements, and all the other things. So it is unfortunate. There are so many people in this world who think once you become a Christian, all your problems are over. And it doesn't mean your problems are over. It's just now you have the tools, the ability, and the power to overcome.
And as we read, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, and he did it. And now we are commissioned to enforce it. And that's what we're doing every Monday night here in Oklahoma City at Deliverance Ministries.
Amen. And I wanted to, if we had a little time, was going to go over some of the ministry tools that are available. We've talked about it often. We've got a little time right now before our next caller. If you go to deliveranceusa.com and search on there, you'll be able to find the ministry tools. And upon there, there's downloadable resources. And some of them are the things we talk about, blessing confessions, breaking ungodly soul ties, ministry to children, command to use them the enemy, communion, deliverance, prayer, and so on and so forth. But these are all there. You can click on them. They're all downloadable. You can print them off, and they're there at your disposal. And, Pastor, we have Patty. Patty, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Hi,
glad
Patty.
Glad you could join us.
Yes, thank you
for
calling in. And I know you have an exciting testimony to share, and so why don't you just go right ahead on giving some history on yourself and when you were born again and how when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then how you learned about deliverance and what experiences you've had in this subject of the passing out of evil spirits and so on.
Okay. As far as a history, I was raised in a church. My mother took me to church, and so I had some good foundation. However, when I was 18, I married a boy, and I basically quit going to church. And soon after I married him, I figured out, you know, I finally started hearing that he was telling me that he didn't believe in God and that he was an atheist. And I'm like, what is an atheist? So I started learning about that. By the time I learned that, it was kind of too late. I was in the marriage. I had children. But the marriage failed, of course, because he wanted to live an ungodly life that I could not structure myself around. I did end up on drugs. I was doing many different types of drugs, and that carried through my life for quite a while. I went ahead and I had another marriage with a person that turned out to be an alcoholic, and things didn't end well there. After that marriage, I found myself in a situation where I had to call upon God. And I knew to do that because of my foundation. My mother took me to church, and so I knew that the only way for me to make it through this situation was to call upon God. And so I reached out to a church, and a pastor helped lead me to the Lord. And so I was saved, and that was in about 2002. And so, hallelujah, I became spirit-filled, and I was saved by the Lord. And my life changed instantly. I was doing cocaine at the time, and I quit doing cocaine the very minute I became saved, and I never craved for it again. So I started living a much better life. however, I did, shortly after that, I married a third man. I was not living as well as I could have in the Lord. I still carried back to my old ways. I did not know I needed to change everything. I just thought it did that by itself. This particular man, turns out 16 years later, he had passed away, and I found myself at a place of employment. Next thing I know, I have demons coming home with me, and I could feel them when they got on me, and they would be at my house at nighttime. and so I didn't know what to do. I tried to find out what to do. After a while, I used my friend called Google, and I reached out and I found Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City. And so I went to one of the gatherings on a Monday night, and that's when I first started learning about ungodly soul tie breaking. And I met Everett Cox there, and he did the big meeting where we talked about it and everything. And I was shocked that, oh, this is exactly what's happening to me. I had no idea this was a real world happening around me. That night I was delivered from a demon, but for some reason it came back kind of shortly after that. And so I tried getting some counseling to see if this woman may have an idea for me, and I went through that. They really reached a point they could not help me. At this point, I'm living with a demon that's pretty much living on my head. It's with me every single night. It's creating tons of pain. So I go back to Deliverance Ministry, and I was delivered again that night. We worked on breaking a generational curse, and this demon, I felt it leave me, but before I left there, it came back on my person, and I felt it. So I tried all sorts of things. I still had the paperwork from Deliverance Ministries. I finally reached out to Everett Cox, and I asked him for a personal meeting. And he and I sat down, and I gave him my history. And I even told him that the third husband I was married to, he at one point in time had a voodoo doll on his ex-wife, his first ex-wife. So that concerned me. And, of course, he put all my ex-husbands in a basket, and we decided to break soul ties, including witchcraft and voodoo. And lo and behold, sitting there with Everett Cox, I was delivered from this demon that lived on my head. It had been with me at this point a solid 3 years. What happened is my ring finger, where I would have worn a wedding ring, it started burning, and then the demon went away. And so we both believe that there was probably a voodoo doll or a curse spoken over me from one of my husbands. I figure it's the third. That day, Everett Cox did baptize me in the Holy Spirit, and I'm practicing speaking in tongues. I am getting better at it, but it's a continuous life for me. It was less than 1 week later when a new demon came to my person. And this demon, it was just here last night. It was horrid. It was a really horrible experience overnight. But I used the tools that Mr. Cox had given me, and this demon spoke out to me and told me it was death was its objective, its assignment on me. So I worked with Everett Cox again today, and I have been delivered from this death demon. And we put a protection of blood around me, and it's a permanent protection. I feel quite secure that I'm not going to have any more demons come upon me. And I don't know what I would have done without Everett Cox and the Deliverance Ministry. I want to speak out to everybody that the one thing that I took from this experience is to believe that this gift was given to me and that I have power over these demons, because they create a lot of fear, a huge amount of fear. But when you believe and you know you have the power, it changes everything. And then just learning the right verbiage to speak out and use against the enemy. So that's pretty much my story.
And that demon of death, Patty, that demon
yeah.
of death, it said it was there by a new assignment. And the
yes.
others had been cast out, but this was a new assignment. And it had, wasn't it like 80 demons under it that came in with the package?
Yes, it was 80 demons, and it did speak out and say it was a new assignment. That other demon had been cast out, but, it had 80 demons assigned with it under its realm, its reign. And, I could tell, at first I thought it was the same demon, but immediately when I went to bed, I could tell this was a totally different scenario that I had not experienced before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that demon was there, of course, to promote death and to take you out. Now, it wanted to block your gifts. And there was something else it said. I was going to try to remember. I know what it was. It saw your golden sash across the front of you. Remember that?
I do. I do remember that. It was really strange. I mean, the way it spoke the word to me, it did not want to say what it said. I could tell that it was being pulled from its vocal. It did not want to tell me, but it did say that my sash said I was a leader.
Yes, written on your golden sash.
On my golden sash. Yes, that's what it said.
And it further admitted that that was because of your gifts as a leader and other gifts that you have. That was why they kept putting assignments out on you. So as I told you on the phone, that's actually good news in one way. You obviously have a lot of God-given gifts to be utilized. You know, the enemy's trying to take you out. Well, the good news of all this, we're the ones with the big guns. And so as we shoot, we win. And hallelujah, we're shooting.
So, that's correct. And it's just a matter of learning how to shoot and knowing that you are able to shoot, that these gifts were given to us. They're freely there for our taking.
Yes. Amen. And are you thinking about going through the training to become a team leader of Deliverance Ministries? Have you thought about that?
Yeah. I have thought about it. I prayed about it. And I'm absolutely going to come to the Deliverance Ministry with the hopes that I can learn how to use this. And if I have gifts, like where you're thinking, that maybe I can help some people. I know that when I was desperate and needed help, I was needing someone to be caring and able to point me in the right direction. And I want to be that for people.
Yes. Freely receive, freely give. And
yes.
And so few people, as you know, they have no idea about where to go. And we got a long ways to go in getting the word out that there are answers to these problems. You know, when people come in, we give them that clipboard that has hundreds of different problem areas and with instructions to circle the ones that they think apply to them. And they'll circle usually a good 3 dozen plus, sometimes much more. And those so often turn out to be actual demons when we get into ministry. But you could take that list and put under the noses of Christians all over, and most people would circle about 3 dozen, but that's the end of it. They don't know what to do about it unless they're in a deliverance situation. So we got a long ways to go, and our training is free, and once you learn how to minister to people, and by the way, you don't need special gifts. I don't seem to have any particular gifts myself, but I've learned the steps to use to help these people. And it's normal Christianity. You don't have to have any special gifts to do this. And you can help hundreds and thousands of people with just the basic knowledge of the steps, just like what's in my book. The steps are in there, doing the supernatural works of Jesus. And if a person will learn to do those, hey, you're ready. You can minister to the world out there and do rather well with those steps. There's lots of ways to do deliverance, but what we've done, and over these years I've tried all kinds of different ways, and what we're using those steps is seasoned for many decades now to help people, and it just keeps helping them. If we just keep doing it, we keep helping them. You know, we've learned enough to help the majority of people out there. So that's pretty exciting.
That's right.
And you can learn that and imagine helping people around you there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And you know, I want to be able to help anybody. I mean, just one person. If I could help one person be delivered from what I've been going through. I mean, I carried this for years. I've been living literally with demons coming to my house that I have complete knowledge of for over 11, 12 years. That's a long time for a person to go through this. As a matter of fact, I'm when I experienced last week being delivered, I realized I have to learn how to live again and be free, because it was an everyday occurrence for me. And so now I have to change the way I live and be free and walk for the Lord.
Well, Patty, just think of this. As you go through the training and learn to do this, how does helping at least one a week sound to you?
That sounds pretty wonderful. And I really can't wait to be to that point.
And look how that adds up over a year.
Yeah.
That's what your future. That's your future there, Patty. The need is much. It's everywhere. So praise God, there's plenty to help.
Yeah, that's right. Praise God. And praise the Lord. There are plenty to help, and I know that He will bring them to it.
Yes. Yeah, you know, we did 776 cases last year that we had our ministry reports on. They actually all did more than that, and we never, you know, filled out the report or get the book cards. But just a drop in the bucket. And, you know, they're everywhere around us. And people, just like you, think how many more, Patty, that are out there like you, having those same kind of problems. Think how many of them are actually out there just like you, and they're embarrassed to probably tell anybody. They may think they're crazy, you know.
I can say that I've experienced saying just a few things to some people, and they just don't believe you. And so you get quiet real quick, and you just move on.
The funny thing about it, those people that said that, if you handed them that list of problem areas, they'd probably circle 36 problem areas, and they don't even have the slightest idea that it could be demonic.
That's not exactly right.
Knows. See, in your case, you knew there were demons bothering you, but a lot of people, they just think it's flesh and blood. It's just me that I got this anger, rage problem, these murder thoughts, suicide thoughts, and this depression.
Right.
It's just me. They don't have any idea there could be spirits behind it. And of course, that's why Jesus commanded believers, Mark 16:17, to cast these things out, because most Christians have got them. Now, deliverance happens just like it did with you when your cocaine left. There's all kinds of ways that deliverance takes place, but if you haven't been free up to now, it's time to really focus head on in a deliverance way and get rid of the stuff. So, we've got a lot of sharing to do, and I'm sure the Lord will coordinate it for us. Well, anything else to share before we hang up here?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Anything else to share before we wind up?
No, that's pretty much all I had to share. I hope that it helps someone to realize that they're not alone. There's plenty of people out here having the same issue, and they can have help. It's at your fingertips. It's been given to you freely by God. It is your gift to have.
Yes. Freedom and joy and life abundant. Thank you very much, Patty, and God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you too.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Patty. Great testimony.
Thank you so much. All right.
Okay. And she said it so simple. Help is there. Help
yes.
is there. And the great thing about what the Bible says is ask and you shall receive. And sometimes it's all just a matter of that. It's getting to that low point in life where you're tired of the torment, tired of the depression, tired of the anger, whatever it is. And just asking the Lord, send me the help that I need. And it could be as simple as somebody talking to you about deliverance, something as simple as a business card blowing up to your feet or a phone number given to you. I mean, we think of those as not being simple, but to our Lord, they are. You know, God says, "Is my hand too short that I can't reach out? Is my ear too dull that I can't hear?" And He hears and sees and all knows all things, and it's just a matter of Him waiting for us. You know, He talked about being a show that even in the Bible doesn't use the word doors; they are door openers because even we have to open the door to let Jesus in. That's part of free will. And,
knock, and you yes, shall
yes.
enter.
Yes, it says, I am at the door. So if
Jesus
enter by a door, how much more is the spiritual realm? I mean, they don't have that free access that that our Lord doesn't. So it's just a matter of searching and seeking. And I just look at over and over in Scripture, especially during the ministry of Jesus, when he said he'd look and he would perceive the person had faith. He'd perceive they had. He generally did not just randomly cast out and heal. He waited till the people had enough and wanted it. And
yes.
that's just what we're there for. And if you're out there listening and you know there's been things in you that you know as a Christian shouldn't be there, there's a good possibility it's spiritual and not just a matter of I can't control the flesh, because it does come as assignments against Christians, and this assignment could be an assignment of anger. It could be an assignment of drunkenness. It could be an assignment of
yes.
It could be an assignment of lying. There's just so many things that could come, and for whatever reason, it's there. Just exercise your authority against it. The tools are available. Go to deliveranceusa.com or doing the supernatural works of Jesus. They're both fantastic tools. Personally, I like to read instead of reading off the computer, so I would get the book. But, you know, you can print these things off. Those ministry tools we were talking about are there. You can print them off, and they're available. They're there free of charge, and they're at your disposal. Pastor, we are winding down. Is there anything else you want to say before we end this program?
Well, just blessings to everybody, and go forth in Jesus' name.
Yes, go forth in Jesus' name. And Richard, if you would, play that great song right before we get out of here.
19.
Thank you, everybody, and good evening.
I have given you authority.